Morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Beis in Zvachim. We are back in Ayin Aleph. We started the mission yesterday. We started the 8th parak of Zvachim yesterday. Okay, I told you it's an exciting parak. Please, everybody, look forward to at least a week, more, nearly 2 weeks of discussion of Tarovis. Tarovis is a discussion about mixtures, a viser v'heter, of when two things combine together. Even if there's a majority of heter, normally we use a concept of rov, of ruba, and we say that there's bittul, there's nullification, and our parak is going to be discussing, sometimes there's not going to be the concept of rov, and there's going to be, So a lot to discuss over the course of the next couple weeks. And we started the Mishnah yesterday, so what I'm going to do is I want to backtrack. I'll start again from the beginning of the Mishnah. And, right, that's Ayin Aleph, and today's daf is Ayin Beis, and, right, pretty comfortable to say that today we'll get through it all. Okay, the Mishnah started us off by talking about the following case. We talked first about the case of Kol HaZvachim Shenisar V'Bechatzos HaMeisos B'Shur HaNiska. Okay, so you have a carbon that gets mixed up with a Chatzos HaMeisos or a Shur HaNiska. Chatzos HaMeisos, we talked about yesterday. There are five carbon Chatzoses that need to be put to death because it's no longer usable. It has no utility. The owner died. The owner received a kapara through another animal. This is the Vlad Chatas, Tamur's Chatas. All right. It aged. It's over a year old. Okay, all those cases where it's a Chatas where it needs to die and it gets mixed up with a bunch of animals. Chatas HaMeisa is serious. It's Isra Hana. It's forbidden to get benefit from. And it gets mixed up with a bunch of other animals. Or a Shur HaNiska. Shur HaNiska, same story. Not same story, but same result. Now this animal gets mixed up with Shur HaNiska. A bunch of animals get mixed up with the Shur HaNiska. I feel achas beribu, even one in a thousand. So you have 1,000 perfectly fine animals. Not animals, carbonos. You have 1,000 carbonos, and those 1,000 carbonos gets mixed up with one Shur HaNiska. Shur HaNiska is talking about an ox that really should be stoned. Why isn't it stoned right now? What's it doing alive and well and running around and in the base of Mikdash? Okay, so fine. So, but anyway, the point of the Mishnah is that even though there's such a mixture, which normally we would say Rav, the Mishnah's point is, it's all going to be us, or it's all going to be prohibited. Sure, I feel achz bibu yamusu kulan. So unfortunately over here, there's no solution. I mean, there is a solution, but I'm saying there's no, you have to let them all die. Right, so 1,001 animals put to death, all because the one animal, which is a Chatas HaMeisos or a Shur HaNiska, we simply don't know where it is right now. It's mixed in with these animals, so all 1,001 animals need to be put to death. We talked about briefly the issue of Tsar Balei Chaim. It sounds extraordinarily cruel that we're putting all these animals to death. And as I pointed out, as we point out many times, Tsar Balei Chaim is not an absolute rule, right? We rarely deal in absolutes, and Tsar Balei Chaim, right, in causing, inflicting pain to an animal, cruelty to an animal, that's not an absolute rule. It's a rule where if there's no other mitigating factor, so then I take Tsar Balei Chaim into account. Over here, there's a mitigating factor. One of the animals over here needs to be put to death, and so therefore, the other animals are also going to be put to death. That's just simply part of the Mitzvah Satorah. So that's case number one. Okay, so let's just make sure that we're organized about this Mishnah. So case number one, we have a whole bunch of animals get mixed up with either Chatas HaMeisos or Shur HaNiska, both of them are Yisuri Hana. Nisarva Bishur, Shenevda Bo Avera, O Shehe Mitzvah Sa'adam Api Eidachad, O Api Abalim, Virova Venerva, Vimuksa Veneva, Be'estan Amechir, Be'klima Vitrefa, Be'yotse Dofin. You ever see me do that? I read one sentence and I covered three blot of Gemara. That was good. But in all three of those, right, in all these cases over here, again, the theme is as follows. Your ox, this carbon, gets mixed up with all these animals that are not fit for carbonos. They're not Isuri Hana'a. In fact, moreover, they're not even usur for Hedja. They're not usur for us. For non carbon prop, non-carbon purposes, right? And I went through this. We'll go through this quickly again, right? Shur Shenevda Bo Avera, right? An ox that was involved in a sin, right? For example, Osha Hamis Esadam Api Eidach or Api Abalim. Either it killed, the ox killed. But we can't put it to death because we don't have due process. In order to put an animal to death, you need due process, right? Everything in the legal system has due process. Putting an animal to death, it has due process, including two witnesses, just like I would put a person to death. So you don't have due process, it's only eid echad. Habalim, or the owner himself admitted my ox killed. The rova, the nerva of the ox was involved in bestiality. The muks of a navan, or the animal was worshipped. Interestingly enough, an animal is worshipped, it does not become asur lehejot. Takrovis avodah zarah, if it's offered for avodah zarah, that becomes asur, that becomes prohibited. But if it's just navan, if it's an object of worship, it does not become asur lehejot. The esnan u'mechir, exchanged for services of prostitution, mechir, exchanged for a dog. Torah says, can't use such an animal for a karban. Again, it's mutar lehejot. Climb with a treif of a yotzei dofen. Climb if it's a cross between two animals, not fit to be brought as a karban. Treifa, we all know. One of the internal organs are punctured. Yotzei dofen, or if it's a cesarean. A cesarean is excluded from being brought as a karban. So yiru ashi yistav of yimakru v'yavi b'dmei hayafesh behen me'oso hamen. Okay, now, here, solution's a little bit better. But before we get to the solution, let's just make sure we're clear about the problem. Problem is, I have a karban that got mixed up with all these other animals that can't be used as a karban. These other animals are not isuri hana. These other animals are not to be put to death. You just have a simple tarovis now. One animal that can be fit as a karban together with one animal that can't be fit as a karban. So what do I do? Or, right, it doesn't have to be one-to-one. Right, it could be one to many. Okay, so what do I do? So here, the solution set of the Mishnah is let it get a blemish. Okay, we know. Once a karban, that's it. It's got one purpose, and that is to be brought up onto the Mizbech. It has what we call Kedusha Saguf. Right? It's intrinsically holy. I can't just simply redeem it. Right? By other forms of Hekdesh, you could redeem it. Right? If I'm Makdish, this tissue box. Okay, that means that this tissue box is now property of the Beis HaMikdash. But then, what they're going to do is they're going to turn around and they're going to sell it to whoever they want to. That could be redeemed. Animals that are set for the Mizbeach cannot be redeemed. Right? Not non-redeemable. So what do you have to do? You have to wait till they're no longer fit to be put onto the Mizbeach. And that means that you sit and you wait until it develops a blemish. You cannot place a blemish on the animal. You must simply wait until it happens. Okay, and whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu designs it to get a blemish, that's when it's going to get a blemish. Then, ayiru achi istavu, and then v'yimachru, so that, and then you sell it. Because once it has a blemish, now it's redeemable, now it's sellable. V'yavi b'dmei ha'yafesh b'hen me'oso amen. Now, you always have to assume, right, worst case scenario. Here, in this case, worst case scenario, best case scenario. Right, the nicest animal was the one that was designated to go up onto the Mizbeach. So now what you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to, with it, bring the most expensive, right, pick the most expensive animal, take the money, and use the money of the most expensive animal, or the value of the most expensive animal, to purchase your karban. Okay, fine. All right, that's case number two. Case number three of the Mishnah. Nisarvu b'chulin t'mimin. Case number three in the Mishnah, it gets mixed up with a whole bunch of other chulin. Chulin t'mimin. Okay? So you have a karban that gets mixed up with non-karbanos. Okay? So far, so good. It's a pretty straightforward scenario.
Animals that could be brought.
So yimkru achulin l'sorche oso hamin. So here, the solution is so simple. Meaning, you don't have to wait. What you could do is as follows. Let's say it's a carbonola that gets mixed up with a bunch of other animals. Non-consecrated, non-blemished animals. So what do? You know one of them is an ola. Again, there's no bittel. There's never going to be bittel in any of these cases. That's good. It's going to be easy for all of us to remember. Right? Bittel, the answer is always going to be no. No bittel. So now what do? So I know one of these, let's say 10 animals is an ola. So just in the base of Mikdash, just sell all these animals for an ola. You want an ola? Here. I have an ola. So, nisarva b'chulin t'mim, and yimakru achulin
l'tzorchei
oso hamin.
How do they know which one are chulin? They're mixed in.
Right,
how
and
do they know?
They don't.
No. So what are they selling? They said, imfa achulin. They didn't say the one that...
Right. In other words, the ones that's already a carbon, you can't really.
So how do you know?
You don't know.
That means so. I don't understand what that means.
So maybe I hear what you're asking. Maybe you deduct the. In other words, you take the total value of all of it, and deduct one animal from the total.
I don't know, because it is specified. You sell the full in them. Right. You do which one are full in them?
Okay.
Huh? What's
all
the
right.
Problem?
Well, it's not it. Wait a minute, what's the problem? The problem
you know
is...
Which one I pull in,
you don't... So, no. So, wait. So let's start with, I agree with you. We don't know which one's
Kodesh. Yeah. I have 10 animals. One is Kodesh and 9 are Kodesh.
Right.
I sell 9. I get the right to sell 9. And then the last one...
Right. So essentially...
That's essentially
what... I'm with you. That's essentially what I'm saying. In other words, you know, all right. Look, we'll put it on the back burner. We'll put it on the back burner. We'll discuss it more later. But basically, same thing. I'm saying the same thing. Of those 10, just one of them you're not going to sell. So you're only going to have the ability to sell 9. Okay. Fine. We'll save it for discussion. We have a whole Shabbos ahead of us. So now, what if karbanos get mixed up? So karbanos getting mixed up. So let's take an example of min bimino. Okay. Olas get mixed up with Ola. Chatas gets mixed up with Chatas. So Zei Krav L'Shem Mishu Huzev, Zei Krav L'Shem Mishu. So here, what the Kohen does is, look, he brings the carbon. Let's give the example of Chatas. Okay? Now, normally, what do we say by a carbon Chatas? You have to have the owner in mind. Not only do you have to have the owner in mind, you have to articulate. We learn in Daf Mem Zayin that you have to have the Kavana of who it belongs to. All right, so you know what? Don't say anything. In other words, I have his chatas and his chatas, and they got mixed up, and oh boy, I don't know which one belongs to which. Okay, so bring it up and just say, whoever belongs to, I want it to work. That's not so radical. In fact, we learned earlier in the Masechta, in fact, that was preferred. Right, stama. Just bring it up, stam, because once you start identifying this belongs to him and that belongs to him, you may in fact confuse. So in fact, we learned earlier it's preferred just stama. So the Mishnah over here says good. That's fine. That's easy. Kachim b'kachim min bimino zeikav l'shem mishu v'zeikav l'shem mishu. Kachim b'kachim min b'she'eno mino. Okay, so here it's going to get a little trickier. Right. So now I have karbanos that got mixed up in the base of Mikdash, and you can imagine this. I would imagine this happened right frequently. You have all these animals running around, hard to tell which ones who belongs to whom. So yiru achi stava. So here now, you're going to let it graze, and you're going to let it develop a blemish. Now, v'yamachru, Rashi is very strong about this. Don't read that word of the Mishnah. Rashi knows that that's a possible girsa in the Mishnah, and Rashi categorically rejects it. Take it out. And so I'm going to do what Rashi does, and I'm going to take it out. Yirachi stava, so now let it develop a blemish. V'yavi b'dmei yafa shebehem mi min zeh, u'v'dmei ha'yafa shebehem mi min zeh. Okay, so now, here's what you're going to have to do. Look, not all animals are valued the same. Some animals are valued more than others. So again, you're going to now assume the worst. Meaning, let's say a chatas and an ola get mixed up together. Right? Your chatas and your ola. They got mixed up together. Or your chatas and someone else's ola. So now you have to assume, look, there's two animals got mixed up. I don't know which one's my chatas. I don't know which one's my ola. By the way, that's a dumb example. That's an extraordinarily dumb example. Ola is a male. Chatas is a female. Okay. Shlamim. A shlamim and a chatas got mixed up together. Shlamim can be male or female. Okay, so shlamim and chatas got mixed up together. So my shlamim and his chatas got mixed up together. So what do we do? So we have to let them develop a blemish. Okay, right? And now what? V'yafsid hamoser mi beso. And now, whichever animal cost more, let's say one animal is $100, the other one was $150. So now, v'yafsid hamoser mi beso, I pay for the difference from my own house. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi over here is extraordinarily clear. The word selling is just simply not appropriate over here. Rashi v'yimachru nimsu deme ola ola deme shlamim ve'eni yode eze ola ve'eze shlamim. Look, we don't know which one's the ola, which one we don't know which one's the shlamim. Hilkach, and by the way, we can't do what we were suggesting earlier. Just bring it. right? And whoever it belongs to, right? Rashi, the previous Rashi says that's not an option over here. Why not? Because every carbon has its own process, has its own procedure, right? Achatas, you got to hit all four corners. Shlamim, you got to hit two corners. Bechor and Meiser, you only hit one corner. So it's not the same process. So you can't just simply say, okay, let's offer it, and whoever it belongs to, that'll work. So that's an option. And Rashi goes on to say, Hilkach yitol ma'os mi beso keneged demei yafeh. So now go home, and if you have to make up a difference in terms of cost, because look, you bought a $100 animal, but now your animal got mixed up with other animals. So, and let's say the most valuable of those animals was 150. The yomer kol makom sheimi ma'os ola yischalu al elu lefi she'enu yodei ze min haya yafeh. You don't know which one was the nicest. The yavi ma'os kayotzebem yomer kol makom shein ma'os shlamem yemuchulalam al elu. Now what you're going to do is you're going to transfer the kedusha, because the animal now is blemished because you waited until it got a blemish. You're going to transfer the kedusha onto your money that you bought from your home. And again, if there's going to be a cost difference, you have to make up the cost difference. And as far as selling, Rashi says, I don't believe in that girsa. I don't believe that girsa is correct. And Rashi says, I'm gonna try to convince you that that's not the right girsa. Why? Because nisarvu bebechor umaiser. Because in just a moment we're going to be reading about the case of bechor and maiser. Now a bechor gets blemished. Do you sell it? The answer is never. Never. Maiser behema, if it gets blemished, do you sell it? Again, same answer. No. Diktani nami v'yamachu. E f shadahat nam be maiser namar lo yigael. Ve'eno nimkar lo chai v'lo shachu lo tam v'lo ba'mum. V'yalu v'yafin alay be'bechor zahai lo yigael lo yimacherhu. Because we know that when it comes to the bechor and when it comes to maiser, there's a prohibition in the Torah that you're not allowed to sell it. So for sure, v'yamachu over there does not work, can't work. It's a prohibition in the Torah. Here as well, you're not selling. You're not selling the mixed up animals.
I don't understand. What if it's worse?
No, what?
The
yummy. Right, you're not, but, right. The animal itself, the animal, it's...
Maybe actually, after me, I know it's my base, which means that you sold the other animals. And you added $50.
Right.
What's wrong with your mark?
He doesn't... You are transferring kedusha. Selling it means that you're selling it to somebody else. Here,
what's Rashi?
And what's going to happen to the animal?
That's Rashi's point of view.
Right, you get to keep the animal, but right.
You're transferring the kedusha,
then it's chulin, and then in theory you could sell it. But in the transfer itself, the transfer is not the transfer is not done through via a sale. I think that's just simply what bothers Rashi.
Or is it that this business, you said that this sort of transfer process?
Right.
So you can sell it after you do the transfer.
I would assume it's yours. It's yours. Although we'll talk later on about by Bechor Meister. Right, you can make no commercial transactions with it.
What happens with the sale?
Bechor and Maaser, when it gets blended, let's discuss it right now. Let's do it in the context of the Mishnah. Okay? So v'yafsid amos mibeso. Fine, okay. So we are almost done. We're almost done with the Mishnah. The Mishnah has now taken us from cases where it gets mixed up with Isuri Hana, that's case number one in the Mishnah, right? Shor Niskal and Chatas Amesos. Case number two in the Mishnah gets mixed up with animals that are not fit to be brought as a karban. Right, and then the Mishnah gives us an entire laundry list of those animals that are not fit to be brought as a karban. Then we talked about getting mixed up with chulin tamimim, getting mixed up with non-consecrated, non-blemished animals. Okay, and then the Mishnah talked about karbanas getting mixed up together, min b'mino, not a big deal, just offer it l'shem balim, min b'she'eno mino, bigger deal, you have to let it now develop a blemish. Redeem, right? And everyone's going to have to now buy new karbanos. And the final case of the Mishnah, which we're doing right now, is Nizarvu beBechor veMaiser. You have a carbon, and your carbon gets mixed up with Bechor and Maiser. So what makes things different over here? Yiru Achi Yistavu v'yochlu beBechor uChem Maiser. HaKol Yicholim LaSarev? Nope, not that. V'yochlu keBechor veMaiser. See, by Bechor and Maiser, it's non-redeemable. Bechor and Maiser are never redeemable. Meaning, what happens? I have a firstborn animal, so it's manas kahuna. So what do I do is I give it to the kohen. End of that discussion. What does the kohen do with it? All right, so if it's a non-blemished animal, he brings it as a carbon. Brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and offers it in the Beis HaMikdash as a bechor. It's basically a shlamim. What if it develops a blemish? So what's the result? It belongs to the kohen.
Takes it home,
shechs it, and eats it at his house. Okay, that's it. You're not allowed to sell the Bechor. Not allowed to transfer the Kedusha onto anything. A Bechor is a Bechor and always will be a Bechor. If without a mom, you bring it on the Mizbeach. With a mom, you take it home and you eat it. Which is why the Kohanim, right, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we're going to learn a lot about this in Becharos, right, they were suspect for, again, nothing against Kohanim right now, but you can understand, it's human nature, right, they have an animal and they need to wait, they don't have a Beis HaMikdash to offer it, and they can only eat it when it gets a blemish, so when nobody's looking, so when no one's looking, so they're going to just simply put a blemish in the animal. So,
but who's watching?
When the Beis HaMikdash was around, so that would be fine. So then they just bring it as a carbon. When the Beis HaMikdash was no longer around, so now you're going to have to wait. And divine justice is going to decide when, in fact, it's going to get a blemish. No. If you bring a carbon,
I have too much of it. There's other people there. Can I sell?
Selling kashim for other people? No. Once it's a carbon, it's a carbon. Either you're going to use it, and if what you what does it mean you don't want to use it? It's
you say, I have too much. You're a kohen. You got this bechor.
Ah, so right. So
you just said there's a prohibition. I'm really asking. You said there's a prohibition to sell the bechor.
Right.
I'm asking you. You have even if it was brought as a carbon.
I mean, if it's brought as a carbon, it's a carbon. I don't fully understand. Meaning, we're discussing.
I sell to other kohanim. You're not allowed. Is there a prohibition to deal in kashrut?
I don't know. Meaning, it's kind of a strange question. You're going to bring the carbon the whole reason why you set it aside as a carbon is because you're going to bring on the Beis HaMikdash.
Bechor,
right? You can't lo yigael. The Torah says you can't redeem it, and part of that iser of lo yigael is lo yimacher. You can't sell it. Even if it develops a blemish. It's still, the only thing you can do now is you can invite other people to eat it. It's not right.
You can't profit from it.
Right. Right.
But with other carbonates, you could, like, if I bring a shlamim.
Right, and you want
to.
Right, and I know, okay.
I'm sure from pocket change, you should lie. I say, hey,
right, you want to sit down, I'll sell, you know, if you didn't, that's good. Okay, probably not. But that's just my. That answer is not coming from a real knowledge base. But I'm just.
We'll have a question like this on my sir.
All right.
On my sir, we had to bring it to Yerushalayim, you couldn't sell it, but you can thank people.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Invite. You certainly invite people. That's the question. The question is the question of sale. Okay. All right. So that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is pretty clear. Meaning that look, all the details in the Mishnah. And there are many categories and subcategories of the Mishnah of different types of mixtures. There's one general theme in the entire Mishnah. Right. If we can just strip away all the. There's a lot of detail, but the one theme of the Mishnah is there's never bittul. Never. Never. Now, the first thing the Gemara establishes is the following: My afilu. What bothers the Gemara is the language. I call as vachmi shenesarva bechatos amesos or b'shor nesko afilu achas bribu. So my afilu hachi kama call as vachmi shenesarva behem chatos amesos or b'shor nesko afilu achas bribu yimusu kulan. I'll tell you what bothers the Gemara. This first give and take of the Gemara. Okay. Whenever you learn Ta'arovis, the way that the Mishnayos and the Gemara and really the Halacha sets everything up is that when this gets mixed up with this, it usually means I got one object get mixed up with a whole bunch of other objects. Okay, that's usually the structure of Taharos. If you go back to the Mishnah and you reread the first line of Mishnah, you realize that's strange. How does the Mishnah read? Kol hazvachim shenis arvu b'chatas amesos. It sounds like from the Mishnah, you got a bunch of chatas amesos, and you have one carbon get mixed up with a whole bunch of chatas amesos. Right? That's usually the structure of Taharobis. Or obishar aniskal. And so, if that's the way you're going to read the Mishnah is not really giving you a major chiddush. Because it's one zevach, one carbon get mixed up with a bunch of other carbonos.
So I would have thought the truma is about the one in 100. I would have thought maybe it's 100, 1,000.
No. But you wait. No. It's the other way around. Meaning it's so one truma.
One truma.
Right.
And here is one zevach.
But it's the heter. You're right. Flip it. It's one heter get mixed up with a whole bunch of iser.
In this case?
Yes, because the way the Mishnah is structured.
What do you think is the heter?
The heter is the zevach.
One piece of kosher.
Because it is. The zevach here is the heter.
Why?
Because it's a carbon. Carbon that was going to be brought on the base on the Mizbeach. And it got mixed up with a whole bunch of chatas amesos. Chatas amesos is the iser.
Did you say where a chatas amesos, where it comes from?
Where is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim?
No, but what is it?
Five different types of chatos that need to be put to death. Because it's no longer usable. Okay.
Oh,
fine.
Right?
That's usually the way Taharovis is presented. It's presented
what
in...
What would have happened with the chatos? The chatos and mesos would have died anyway.
You need to kill them.
You need to
starve them to death. So the way that you really should have read the Mishnah is that you have one carbon heter get mixed up with a whole bunch of chatos and mesos, and that's the Gemara's basically fleshing out. Wait a second. That's not a chiddush. So I have one heter get mixed up with a whole bunch of iser. Yeah, of course that's the result. And we know that that's not the point of the Mishnah. The entire point of the Mishnah is just the opposite, where I have one iser get mixed up with a bunch of heterim. So that's, the Gemara says, that's where the afilu comes in. The afilu of the Mishnah is there to teach us. Oh, afilu achas beribu. Right. Even if it's one chatas amesos, get with 1,000 regular kabanos, that's the afilu. Afilu achas beribu yamusu kulam. Kind of begs the next question, which the Gemara doesn't ask, which is, if that's really the truth, so then go the other way. So then the Mishnah should have structured it, chatas amesos shenis arba bezvachim. But maybe, I'm just suggesting, maybe the Mishnah didn't want to do that because the Mishnah has Chatos Amesos, it has Shor Niskal, right? Maybe it would have just been a little bit messier to set it up the other way around. Either way, the point is still made. It's one Isser getting mixed up with 1,000 Heter, and they're still not going to be Bittel. And as for the why, stay tuned. Not yet.
When does the principle of Torah come in? Tomorrow.
No, not here. It's not a Tamura discussion. However, there's a Mishnah from Tamura that we're about to learn. So Echad Afilu Yamusu Kulam. Tanina Chada Zimna. All right, you know how the Gemara does not like repetition, does not like when Mishnayos make the same point again. So we have now, we're learning Zvachim right now. We started the 8th parak of Zvachim. Right, there's a Mishnah in Tamura that we're going to learn, plus there's a Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, which we already learned not that long ago, which we're going to relearn again this morning. And they basically all speak to the same point. So what the Gemara will do now for the next 15-20 minutes of our time is that we're going to discuss what's the need of the Mishnah in Tamura, what's the need of the Mishnah in Zvachim, and what is the need of the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. So first we're going to learn together a Mishnah in Tamura. Tanina chadizimna, kol ha'asurim legabe mizbech, osurim b'chol shehen. Harove v'hanirva. Okay. Mishnah in Tamura says, when you have Taharovis, when you have a mixture, something which is prohibited to the Mizbeach, like Rova Venirva, like the examples that we learned about in our Mishnah, animals that were involved in bestiality, which is Asala Mizbeach, right? It's Mutar Lehejot, if somebody wants to eat that animal, by all means. By the way, the animals involved in bestiality, we normally say the animal needs to be put to death, correct? But again, that's only with due process. That's two witnesses, and witnesses issued a warning, and not to the animal, because the animal could care less, and animal doesn't have a knowledge. But, right, there's due process. We're discussing a scenario where, for whatever reason, there was no due process. So, right, like the Mishnah said, like our Mishnah said, there was only one person who saw it, was the owner himself who admitted it, etc., etc. The Mishnah in Temura says that if you have this animal get mixed up with a whole bunch of other animals, right, everything is going to be prohibited. That is the Mishnah, Asurim Bechol Shehein, right, which means Issur Mashehu. And what bothers our Gemara is, we have a Mishnah in Temura, we have a Mishnah in Zvachim, and they're saying the same thing. Okay, so Am Rav Ashi, Am Yitzchak Shmaisa Kemet Rav Shemevi Itzrichin, the Atzrichan. So Rav Ashi says, yeah, this bothered me as well. And I went over to Rav Shimi, and he says, there is a Trichusa, there's a need for both. Yeah, so look, that Mishnah over there in Temura, that could be a carbon discussion, meaning Asur and Legavoa. But if it's just lehejot, I might have said, no, it's fine. So in other words, our Mishnah over here introduces the idea that it's not just a carbon-related matter, it's a hejot-related matter as well. Now, how do you see that from our Mishnah? Right? How do you know that our Mishnah is even lehejot? Because Rashi explains very simply. Because in our Mishnah, we're discussing Yisuri Hana. Right. Meaning not just things which are you can't use towards the Mizbech, things that you can't get any benefit from whatsoever. For example, our Mishnah talks about Shor and Iskol. For example, our Mishnah talks about Chatzas HaMeisa. They're not just Asur Lagabe Mizbech, they're Asur, period, across the board. So fine. So our Mishnah introduces the idea that it's Asur Aval Lehejot Emalo. V'imei Hacha. So, Hava Amina Hani Hu De Isuri Hananinu. Hava Hani Emalo Tricha. Delav Isuri Hananinu. And so good, the Gemara says, and as far as now that you have our Mishnah and Zvachim, what is that Mishnah and Temur telling us? Well, our Mishnah and Zvachim is talking about Isuri Hana. That's when there's never Bittul. But if it's not Isuri Hana, I might have thought there would be Bittul. The Gemara says, wait a second. Hatanile. So the Gemara says, that's not true. Our Mishnah talks about cases where it's not just Isuri Hana, right? The second cases of our Mishnah, right? The animals get mixed up with Rova Venirva, Muksa, Neva, Esma, Mechir. Those are not Isuri Hana. Those are not prohibited to get benefit from. So, Atanale. So, Mikitani, Girso. Sorry. Right. Right. Mi ketani b'chol shehu, hasem ketani, right. Right. Our Mishnah doesn't give us the strength of the degree of no bittul. Right. Our Mishnah doesn't say b'chol shehu. Right. V'nisne havalo b'ayha. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Mishnah in Temura is where really you get the idea of kol shehu. Any amount. So the Gemara says, so once I have the Mishnah in Temura, so really, doesn't that say it all? No. Vinisti havelo bayha takanta itzterichlei. The Gemara says, you know what we get from our Mishnah, which you don't get in the Mishnah in Temura? Remedy. Right. The Mishnah in Temura just basically says, here's a mixture. It gets mixed up together. It's no good. And now what? The Mishnah in Temura doesn't tell us what to do. Mishnah in Temura just simply tells us that any amount creates Isser, no, I'm sorry, not Bittul, creates Isser, and the Mishnah in Temura tells us the strength of this. Meaning the Mishnah in Temura says, afil b'chol shehu, any amount, it doesn't matter. Numbers never are relevant in this discussion. One animal get mixed up with any number, you could choose a number, it doesn't matter, there will never be Bittul. Our Mishnah here in Zvachim in the 8th parak talks about then what to do. What's the next step? What's the remedy? Okay, and why can't one Mishnah combine all these rules? Okay, to that degree, I don't know. That is, so far now we've explained why I have a Mishnah in Zvachim and why I have a Mishnah in Temura. Dehejonami tanila, ve'elo asurim ve'osurim v'choshahun. Now we have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, which basically speaks to the same point. These are asur v'osurim v'choshahun, yainesech, avodas kochavim, etc., etc. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Fifth parak of Avodah Zarah that we learned together. Tzricha. De'imei hasam, we're now on the top of Ayin Beis. If it's over there, that Mishnah over there, In avodah zara hava mina lehejod avalagovoa emalo nafsedino lekulu. Look, the Mishnah in avodah zara was not talking about karbanos, and you could have made the argument that that Mishnah in avodah zara. Yeah, I understand. If you want to tell me that everything becomes asar and it's isuri mashahu, and you and I can't eat it, okay. It's a tough loss, but it's our loss. But now you want to tell me that what if one carbon gets mixed up with a whole bunch of carbonos and the mizbech is going to lose all those carbonos? Meaning, really, the chachamim stepped in and blocked bittul and prevented all these carbonos to be brought on the base of mikdash. So, and that's the chiddush of zvachim. Correct. So lo nafsinu l'kulo v'ime hacha hava mina hani milakashim demais. And you can make a counter argument. Meaning, if all I had was the Mishnah and Zvachim, the Mishnah and Zvachim says, look, I have one of these animals that it cannot be brought onto the Mizbeach. I know all the other animals are fine. I know we have this concept of Rov, but really we're gonna put an animal on the Mizbeach that's not fit to be brought on the Mizbeach. Even though it's a 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000 chance, it's ma'is. It's just disgusting. It's repulsive. But you and I, you know, what's the big deal? All right. Another way, and we have. And by the way, when I say what's the big deal, and we have a concept of rov, and rov really says that there's bittul, and so for you and I, it's not so disgusting. And you know, and let's work with the halachic framework of rov, and that's what the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says even lagabe hedyot, we're going to block bittul. Okay.
Why is that? Why are you blocking?
Right, so that's going to be the next discussion of the Gemara.
Tom Kinker, I understand.
Right,
it's
right.
It's tasty.
Right, but this is not Tom Kinker.
You know, the Torah said it's good, but here.
Good. So that's the very next discussion of the Gemara.
Always have somebody do a bun of these. You know?
Right, so it segues. Okay, perfect segue. It's coming. All right, so now we have. Okay, good. We got it all straight. We have now Mishnayos in Zvachim, Tmura, and Avodah Zarah, all speaking to the idea of bittul blockers, right? That the Chachamim stepped in from time to time and blocked bittul. There is this concept of bittul berov, and sometimes the Chachamim blocked bittul. And the concept, our Mishnah, primarily its purpose is to tell us what's the remedy, what's the takana, what happens when animals get mixed up together, and there's no bittul, and what am I supposed to do then? So that's our Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Temura primarily comes along and tells us, afilu b'chol shehu, strength of no bittul. Right? The Chachamim blocked bittul to any degree. Doesn't matter what the number is. If one of those animals is prohibited, we block bittul. And the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah tells us, even if this is not a Mizbeach issue, even if this is a hedjot issue, still, Chachamim come along and block bittul. So now that I got all my three Mishnayos, and all of them teach us different aspects of this law of bittul blocker, so now the Gemara asks the obvious question. V'nivtalu beruba. Okay, so the Gemara phrases the question in two words, and it's really a powerhouse question, meaning it's really, this question now is really the essence of our entire discussion. Why not? Why not let Rove work out? Okay, v'chi tema. So the Gemara for today, we're going to operate with one answer, and even in that one answer, we'll flesh it out a little bit. We'll get somewhat of an understanding of it, not a full understanding. So for today, the operative word is it's a davar chashuv. It's significant, meaning that min haTorah. Let's go over some basics of that bit of barov. Min haTorah, right? I have this idea of where things get mixed up. I always look at the majority. Rashi, the much discussed Rashi. Rashi, third line down from the top of the page. This is a short daf. Uparchinam v'nifta baruba dehaksiv acharei rabim lahatos. Right, Rashi does this a lot. I can think of a couple of other places where Rashi does this. How do I know about the concept of rov? I know about the concept of rov because acharei rabim lahatos. Okay, you understand what Rashi's doing? Let me see if I can explain.
In a different context.
Yeah, right. Acharei rabim lahatos means, look, we have a question comes up in front of the Beis Din, and they have to decide. And not everyone has agreement of mind, right? Just a couple minutes ago, we had a disagreement of mind. Okay, because that's human nature. We all don't think the same. And so some of the judges are going to go one way, and some of the judges are going to go another way. And the Torah says, and how does this get resolved? Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Okay? The beginning of democracy. But not really. I'm not sure if we want to go that far in terms of an analogy. But yeah, but we do follow the majority. The majority is going to rule. And what happens to the minority opinion? The minority opinion gets dismissed. Okay. And Rashi says, from here we learn out, this is the concept of Bittul Barov.
That's where we learn it out for every single one.
Rashi, every time this comes up, Rashi points to that as the source of Bittul Barov. Rabbi Goldstein points out, as many people do, it's not exactly the same. Not exactly the same where I have judges and I have to make a decision. I have to render a decision. And so the Torah tells us Rov is going to be the way to go. Okay, here, and in most cases of Tarovis, right, it's a slightly different format of how Rov operates, right? Either way, but still, okay, not to get into a too involved discussion about how Rov operates, but we have this concept of Rov. Now, Rov applies principally everywhere. It doesn't matter what the objects are, acharei rabim lahatos. Look, in the model case that Rashi brings down, we're talking about judges and their opinions. And we're going to say, look, as far as the other judges, what, we're just simply saying you're insignificant? No, of course we're not saying that. We're simply saying that you're a minority, they're the majority, we're not going to follow you. So principally, Rov applies all the time. Okay. And along come the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that under certain circumstances, we're going to block Bittul Barov. So for the rest of today, we're going to talk about the concept of Adavar Chashuv. Adavar Chashuv, when objects are significant, Chachamim stepped in and said, we're not going to allow Bittul to take place. Even though principally Bittul should take place, we're going to block it. Now, obviously we have to define, what's Adavar Chashuv? What does it mean it's significant? So, in terms of definition of what is significant, so we have a Mishnah in Arla, which we're going to learn. The Mishnah in Arla is going to basically point to, well, take a look at how it's sold. Right? I go to the store and I buy strawberries. Right? Does it get counted out for me? Right? I buy blueberries. Does it get counted out for me? I buy eggs. Yes. Eggs do get counted out for me.
Only okay. Sometimes. Back then, maybe they didn't.
I understand, but I'm just correct. But in other words, I'm just giving us a framework of how we're gonna define something which is a davar chashuv. So right. Just giving simple examples: strawberries, blueberries, eggs. Strawberries are not sold by count. Blueberries are not sold by count. Eggs are. Right.
It's a count.
It's a count, right? Okay. So, and that's exactly where we're going this discussion. V'chitem achashiv avalabat lihanich laman damer kol shadarcha limanashaninu. El laman damer et shadarcha limanashaninu ma'ika lameymar. Gemara is going a little bit backwards over here. Gemara assumes that, you know, the Mishnah in Arla, and you know the machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right? Am I saying it right? Yeah. And you know that. Good. Hopefully I know it. And you know the machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on that Mishnah in Arla. And based on all that, so. All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we learn the Mishnah in Arla together? Why don't we learn the machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And we'll understand what the Gemara is going with all this. Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Okay, so Mishnah in Arla. Misha Ayelo Chavila Tilson Shel Kalaya Karam. You have bundles of fenugreek.
Yeah.
Yes. That means nothing to me.
Plus he does.
You did what? Show, remind me again. What was it? It was
spice.
It's leafy? No.
It's a stalk.
It's leafy.
Yeah.
Misha hayulo chavile tilson shel klaya karam. You have fenugreek of klaya karam. Klaya karam means it was planted in a field with vines. So yadliku, so you have to burn it. torch it. Right? It's aser, and as we know, whenever it comes to klaya keren, pentuk dash, and the Gemara says that you have to destroy it in fire, right? Yes, arvu ba'acherim. If it get mixed up with others, and then ba'acherim ba'acherim in the and the Rabbeinu Tam discussion of sfeik sfeika and not for now, and okay, kulan yet in some parentheses, kulan yadliku divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says torch it all, even though it's one piece of iser gets mixed up with a lot of heter, torch it all. The Chachamim Amrim yalu be'echad umasayim, and the Chachamim say no, you're going to have bittul, assuming a ratio of 1 to 200. Ratio of bittul when it comes to klai karam is 1 to 200. That's an interesting ratio. The Rashi over here, it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, where do we get the numbers 1 to 200? How come the Chachamim give that as the ratio of bittul for Klai HaKerem? So Rashi writes, second Rashi on the page, Zuhi, Alias, Arla, V'Klai HaKerem. These are your numbers for both the Isra of Arla and for the Isra of Klai HaKerem. Detruma Ola Be'echad Umeya. Rashi says, look at this. Or you want to talk about a ratio. We know that when it comes to Truma, how much do you need of Truma and Chulin mixed together in order so that we can ignore the Truma? The correct answer is 1 to 100. One piece or volume, right? One amount of Truma to 100 amount of Chulin, then and only then do we get to ignore the Truma. Now, Truma is Aser Be'achila, not Aser Be'hana. The Kaven Shekafal is a Iser. She isuro isur hana'a kafa es ha'aliyah. So now, okay, I'm going to say it. Don't ask me to explain it. Since Arla and Klai Karen are twice as Asr, because it's not just Asr ba'achila. It's Asr ba'achila, Asr ba'hana'a. That's an interesting Rashi. Rashi assumes that Asr ba'hana'a now is double, right?
Is it? It is a second prohibition.
I just don't know from a mathematical standpoint if you would go ratio-wise, right, making it twice as Esther, but fine. But Rashi does it, right? Esther Hana Kefas Ha'aliyah. So now the ratio gets doubled as well. Meaning, when do I get to ignore Klai HaKerem? When do I get to ignore Arla? When I have a 1 to 200 ratio. Good. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, and we will be focusing not on the Chachamim, interestingly enough, but on the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, and here's your magic line of the Mishnah Arla. Kol Shadarko Limanos Mikadesh. The Chachamim Omrim, Eino Mikadesh Ela, Shisha Dvarim Bovad. So Rabbi Meir says, anything that's normally counted, never bittul. Always will be Mikadesh. In this context, Mikadesh is bad. Mikadesh means we're going to have to destroy. Right? Kol Shadarko Limanos. Now, the Chachamim Amar, let's just finish the mission Arla. The Chachamim said, Eino Mikadesh Ela Shisha Dvarim Bavad. No. Chachamim stepped in and blocked Bittul only for the sale of six objects, which are a Davar Chashuv, and Rabbi Kiva Amar Shiv, and Rabbi Kiva would like to add a seventh. The Elu Hain, and they are list of six items that never is subject to bittul. Egoze prach rimoni badan chaviya sesumas chalife tardin kilche kruva delas yavanis. Different types of produce. Do you really want me to translate each one of them?
Yeah.
The point is that these produce that are just mentioned over here are significant produce and always sold itemized. Always sold itemized. Rabbi Kiva Mosif Afkikar Shabbal Abayis. Rabbi Kiva adds loaves of bread that are sold by the homeowner, which again are always itemized, never sold in bulk. Harayla Arla Arla Harayla Klai Karen Klai Karen. Okay, and whichever ones are subject to Arla, whichever ones are subject to Klai Karen, subject for Klai Karen. Fine, that is the Mishnah in Arla, and now on that. Yeah, they're itemized.
The whole thing.
Correct. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Well, hold on a second.
The Chacham is saying it's not anything inside. It might still be these things.
Right.
What's special about these things? These as opposed to other things.
Correct. They have some sort of. You're right. They have a certain. Right. Rashi says mitoch shehin gedolim udemei mekarim vechashuvim b'minam. They fit a certain criteria which makes them super special. Okay? Large, expensive, itemized. Okay, and now on that, V'idmar Allah. Rav Yochanan Amar Shadach Limana Shaninu. Rishimah Melakish Amar Kol Shadach Limana Shaninu. Now, on the line of Rav Meir. Now, in the Mishnah, we have the words Kol Shadach Limanos. But Rav Yochanan Amar Shlakish want to now argue, they do argue, in terms of what the correct Girsa of that Mishnah in Arla is. Rav Yochanan says it's Esh Shadach Limanos. Meaning, it has to be that every single time it's sold, every single time, it's always sold by unit. Right? That is the definition of chashivas. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not the opinion of Rav Meir. Right? The opinion of Rav Meir is kol shadach limanos. Kol shadach limanos means as long as it's generally sold, itemized. Not always, but generally. So, and now we have a working definition of chashivas. It is a little bit strange that the entire Gemara over here is focusing on the opinion of Rav Meir, when the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir, and the Chachamim say that the only thing that is a Davar Chashuv are the six items that are mentioned in the Mishnah and Arla. So yes, it's a little bit strange, but okay, strangeness aside, all we're trying to do is give up shot in our Mishnah here in Zvachim. How come there's no Bittul Berov? How come? So what the Gemara is now saying is, well, our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says, when things are itemized, so the Chachamim came in and blocked Bittul.
How did Rabbi Yochanan get Ed when Rabbi Meir clearly says Kol?
Because he didn't have that girsa. In other words, whenever he taught his students the Mishnah...
I see.
Now, let's just... can I take your question one step further?
Sure.
Reish Lakish learned from Rabbi Yochanan.
What?
How did Reish Lakish come on to a different girsa?
And the thing, but the thing is that the Gemara that they quote here is just as Kol. How come they don't have the second version?
Okay, but... yeah, as Stuart correctly points out, they have it on the side, right? The right nusach acher eshedarko. Okay, right? Fine. So right, and I don't know if Reish Lakish learned his Torah. I mean, this question comes up a number of times. If Reish Lakish learned his Torah from Rav Yochanan, how's Reish Lakish? How does he ever argue with Rav Yochanan? But that doesn't bother me so much because they can argue in Svaro. How can you argue about a girsa in the Mishnah?
Right.
Could it be that their students got different girsas eventually?
But we're not talking about. Look, I've held this question on for a while. You know, I got some questions which on my list of unanswerable questions. I'm sure there's answers. I'm just saying it's strange. So hanichal Reish Lakish al Rav Yochanan ma'ikal amemar. So the Gemara now says, okay, so if you're Reish Lakish, so good. So now I have a position, which is how come there's no bittul? Because Rav Meir says that things are itemized, even if they're not always sold. As long as they're generally sold, by, one at a time, so then they are chashuv, and therefore impervious to bittul, right? Simply no bittul. But according to Rav Yochanan, even the opinion of Rav Meir, who is more liberal in his definition of chashivas, not just your six items mentioned in that Mishnah Arla, but even according to Rav Yochanan, it has to be es shadarcha limanos, right? It has to be that they're sold only one at a time.
But the thing is, what's the difference between the two? I mean, Rav Yochanan, they're essentially the same.
And sometimes, I'm sorry, let's just finish. And sometimes animals are sold by flock. Sometimes. Not, right? Most of the time, no. Most of the time, animals are sold itemized, individualized, but sometimes they're sold by flock. Rashi says that on the bottom of the previous page. So if all this is true, so then we don't have yet an answer to our question. Our basic question that we've asked so far is, what happened to Bittul? Why don't we say Bittul Berov? And so the Gemara's proposal of, well, it's a Davar Chashuv. And you know, when it comes to Davar Chashuv, it's a Davar Chashuv is impervious to Bittul. So first of all, according to the Chachamim / Rabbi Akiva approach, it's certainly not a Davar Chashuv, because it's not one of the big six. Not one of the big six / big seven items. Even according to Rav Meir, according to one Amora, according to Reish Lakish, life is good. Because as long as it's generally itemized, then animals are generally itemized and sold as units, sold as individuals. But according to Rav Yochanan, it's Eshadar Chalimanos, we don't have a leg to stand on. Because according to him, a Davar Chashuv means things that are only sold by item, not things that are generally sold by item. And since animals are sometimes sold by the flock, so then animals are not considered a davar chashav. And so we are left with the question open-ended, which we'll continue with tomorrow: how come there's no bittul? Okay.